So 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. There are in the writings of Paul as well as Peter, and now we see in 1 John verses that tell us to walk as Jesus walked. And our Lord Jesus in the Gospels, all four of the Gospels, himself tells us that we are to take up our cross and follow him. When Jesus called his disciples to himself, he said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Our job is to follow him, and then he makes us, as it were, effective in his hand. A lot of people want to keep a set of rules of doing this, and a lot of other people want to keep a set of rules of not doing this or that or the other thing. But true Christianity is a relationship. It's a great holy love affair with your great Creator who loved you and came and gave himself on the cross for your sins and rose again, that you would be able to fellowship with him forever and ever in his holiness, God, because at the cross his blood has washed away your sins, and then he has justified you and given you his own righteousness. What a wonderful verse that is. I quote it a lot. You'll remember it when I say it. But in Romans where it says, "For you are made the righteousness of God through faith in Christ Jesus." Not by keeping all these rules, not by not doing this or by doing the other, but through faith in Christ Jesus, receiving him, believing on him. That's the whole key. And so it's a relationship. It is walking with him. You know, it's like I read an old Family Circle comic strip in a Sunday paper many, many years ago, and that's where the grandma of the family, usually see the little kids like PJ, and I used to know the other names of the kids in the family, but Family Circle was actually a comic by a Christian, and it always taught a good lesson, and a lot of times was also funny as well in the Sunday comic section. But this one talked about the little girl, remember the little girl that would come into the picture sometimes in the family circles, and grandma is sitting in the bedroom on the corner of her bed, and she's talking to grandpa, but actually grandpa was in heaven. He wasn't there. He had passed on, and the kids were talking about it, and the mom says to him, "You know, there's nothing wrong. She's just talking to him and remembering what he would tell her to do if he was here." This is a lot like our relationship with Christ, is that by faith we walk with him. Mm-hmm. By faith we talk with him. And he is right there. He's as close as the mention of his name, and even closer. He lives within us. And so 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. We're going to be talking about imitating Jesus. Imitating Jesus. We cannot be perfectly like Jesus in this life. But we can be a lot more like him than we are. If we really wanted to be, and if this was something that we prayed for, if this was the desire of our life, was to remind others of Jesus, if our prayer when we got up in the morning and got ready and we talked to God was, "Lord, let Jesus wear me like a suit of clothes. Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to say the things that you would say if you had my mouth. Help me to do the things that you would do if you had my hands. If you were in my shoes, Lord, let me walk in the paths that you would walk. Help me to think the things that you would think." So we're wanting to be imitators of Christ as dear children and walk in love, as the scripture says. So many other verses that go along with 1 John chapter 2 and verse 6. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. We looked at this verse quickly last Sunday along in the context, but verse 6 by itself. He who says, or she who says, they abide in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. If we say we love Jesus, if we say we walk with Jesus, if we say, well, we love him and want to please him, then why aren't we doing what he says? Why aren't we following him? Why aren't we taking his example and doing what he would do if he were in our shoes? We can be more like him every day if we really, really wanted to be. And like I said, if we ask God for it, God will give good things to those who ask him. But let me forewarn you a little bit ahead of time what to be ready for. The closer you get to Jesus and the more you walk with him, you're going to find that there is a cross that comes with it. There are going to be people who hate you for no reason. There's going to be slander that comes your way. There's going to be just the onslaught of Satan himself and the fallen angels. They don't want you walking around following Jesus because you might do their kingdom damage. You might be able to tell another sinner about Jesus and them come to Christ and be saved. You might be used of God in a mighty way because you're close to Jesus and walking with him. So while you have this joy, this peace, this confidence, and by the way, the word confidence is the Latin con, even in the Spanish, means with, C-O-N. Contigo means like with me. So con, fideo, and then the inse at the end. Fideo is where we get our word faith. Sole fides is where we get our word faith. So it means with faith, deo, confidence. In the deo means with faith in God. So true confidence means we're looking to the Lord, we're walking with him, and we know he's in charge of everything, that we don't need to worry about our circumstances. God's in charge. And so I have this confidence, which means with faith in God. Amen. And so I need not worry or fear or stress or be in a chaos and a stress and running all around if I'm wanting to be like him and trying to follow him every day. I can have this confidence. This is the reason God gave us his word. You know, lost sinners can't understand the word of God. They can follow its stories to a degree, but it doesn't really have a meaning for them. There's not really that part of it living and giving affections and changing the will and changing the direction of their motives and their desires. And so God gave us his word that we might walk with Jesus. He gave us his Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit would make us more like Jesus. When it says walk in the Spirit, and it said this is the fruit of the Spirit, it's just telling us these are things that Christ was like. These are the virtues of Jesus. And so the Holy Spirit comes to make us more like Jesus. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Who loved like Jesus? Joy. Jesus said, my joy is full. And Jesus was always joyful because he was in perfect fellowship with his Father. And so to see this little verse and the greatness of it is a wonderful blessing. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. In that little verse is to be the grand purpose of our lives. We are to walk with him. We are to follow him, to take up our cross and follow him. And so many other verses in the Bible that We should walk in his steps, Peter tells us. And one of the great Christian books that only Pilgrim's Progress has outsold, it was written by a pastor named Pastor Charles Sheldon, and it's the book, just those three words, In His Steps. And it tells the story of a church who transformed not only itself and saw great revival, but extended out into all their community. And then the influence kept going. What would it look like if somebody did walk with Jesus and like Jesus, doing what Jesus would do? And the book is really amazing. It's a bestseller. You can find copies of it in even Goodwill and stuff like that, because there have been so many of them. But it's In His Steps. The grand purpose of our lives is to walk with him, to strive to be like him in our home, in our church, on our job, and with our neighbors, to be walking with Jesus. The thing is that people think it's all these do's, do this, do that, do the other thing, and don't do this, that, and the other thing. But the Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you're looking to yourself and how good you perform or how you don't do these other things, you'll become prideful in yourself. And you'll also stumble and fail and be discouraged with yourself. But if you look to Jesus, you will always be... sometimes to walk with Jesus is very humbling to us, because we see how good he is and how sinful we are. But other times it keeps us focused on the one who loved us and gave himself for us, wants only our best, knows how to make us happy, and is perfect love. God is love. And so as we look to him, then we can imitate him. And so, number one, what are we to look at as we imitate Jesus? As we walk just as he walked, what are we to imitate from him? Well, there's a lot of things that Jesus does that we can't do. He holds the universe together by the mere will of his word. He performed many great and mighty miracles. He raised the dead. He took tongues that had never said a word, and all of a sudden they're singing his praises. He took eyes that never saw, and now they see and follow him. He made ears that never hear to hear his word, and then gladly proclaim it to others. People who had never walked to begin walking with the Lord. We can't do that. We can't perform these many mighty miracles. We can't be all powerful like him and control the fish and the fowl and the winds and the waves, but he controlled them. Remember when Peter couldn't pay the temple taxes, and Jesus said, don't worry about Peter, go to the Sea of Galilee, go to the Lake Gennesaret, cast in a hook, and the fish that comes up, open his mouth and you'll find enough money there to pay your taxes and mine. We can't do that. But he's in control of everything. In the seas, under the seas, in the air, in the trees, everywhere, at all times. He's in absolute sovereign control. He is Lord. So what does it mean to imitate him if there's so much that he does or he has done that we can't do? What is it about him that we can follow? What is it that we can imitate? Well, first of all, we can never do it perfectly in this life, but we are to follow his purity and holiness. In other words, we are to have our eyes on him and our affections for him, that we might have a purity, not only in the things that we look at. Lord, use my eyes today. Let me only see those things that you would see and how you see it. Let me not look on those things that are sinful and wrong, that would take my attention away from you. Lord, use my ears today to truly listen and to hear past others' words to what their real need is. You know, a lot of times people will come and talk to you and be talking about their circumstances, and we hear it, and sometimes we feel sorry for them. But we're not really looking at their true need. And what is their need? To be closer to Jesus. When your wife is fussy or how your husband is grouchy, ladies, when your husband's grouchy, just pretend this. It's a little red light going off on his head, and what it's really saying is, I'm not walking with Jesus, I'm not close with Jesus, I'm fussy because he's missing in my walk right now. See? And husbands, when your wife is grouchy and fussy at you, it's probably because you deserve it. But sometimes it's because she's saying, her little red light's going off saying, I'm not close to Jesus right now. I'm under the circumstances. I'm stressed out because of this situation, because of the kids or this relationship, or because you keep leaving your clothes laying around the house or whatever. Instead of having it all in the Lord's hands, walking with Him, it's like the little red light saying, I'm not close to Jesus right now. And so we need to look past a lot of things that we might even feel sad about or grouchy about and see what the real need is. And Jesus was sincerely holy from His heart. He was holy in every circumstance, in every place, and all the time. And it is His desire that we look to Him to help us be more like Him in that area. You know, I heard the saying over and over again. Somebody would say, well, she's so heavenly minded, she's no earthly good. Think about that. When somebody says, he's so earthly minded, she's so earthly minded, they're no heavenly... they're so heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. Let me get that right. So heavenly minded, they're no earthly good. There's no such thing. You can't be too close to Jesus. You cannot love Jesus too much. You cannot desire... or pray to you, desire Him too much, or pray too much, or think about His word too much. You cannot be too much in love with Jesus. It's impossible. You cannot be too heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. In fact, if you want to be more earthly good, if you want to be more of a blessing in this world, walk closer to Jesus. Amen. He delighted in purity and holiness. He was holy to His last earthly breath. The things that we can imitate about Jesus are shown to us over and over in the example of His life and so on. But there's one thing that Jesus never had to do that we have to do all the time. Jesus never had to say, Father, forgive me. He never had to confess His sins. He never had to say, pray for me, I'm really struggling with this covetousness or this lust or this greed in my life. That's you and me. Now, Jesus prayed much. We see in the Bible where sometimes He would spend all night in prayer. He said, Father, I know that You hear me always. He was always in prayer, constant in prayer, continually in prayer. Now, if the Son of God, who is perfect, sinless, holy in every thought, in every affection, in every word, in every deed, with every movement of His hand, with every step that He took in perfect obedience to His Father's will, in love to His Father, if Jesus prayed that much, being perfect and pure, how much more do we need to pray? That are tempted and get underneath these circumstances and how foolish it is that sometimes we care too much what other people think about us. Mm-hmm. than what our Father sees in us, right? We need to, and you know, I'm chasing a rabbit here, I better move on. But to imitate him and seek to imitate him by delighting in that which is good, that which is holy. And to look at it not as rules and regulations, but as it is a picture of how Jesus is, and to keep our eyes on him. We're to imitate Jesus' obedience to the Father. Jesus' obedience came from the heart. It was willing. It was cheerful. And it was free. We should be glad to serve Jesus. My Meemaw, she's been in heaven for a long time now. But one day we were spending the Sunday afternoon together before choir practice many years ago. And she said to me, you know, Alan, boy, what's best of all is that not only has Jesus saved us, but he lets us serve him. And then not only is that the icing on the cake, but the sprinkles on top are that he rewards us for serving him. And that is so true. You know, it is a blessing to serve Jesus. It is a cheerful, and it is this obedience. If we follow Jesus, to be willing, cheerful, free. You know, it's like some your kid will say, "All right, Dad, I did this. Give me." We're not to be that way. Okay, Father, I said my prayers. Give me what I want. No. We're to delight in doing it because we walk with him, love him. I'm chasing a rabbit again. I better. It was sweeping. It was meticulous. No command of the word was too small to be overlooked. Jesus' obedience flowed from love to his Father and love to you and me. It was for his Father's glory, not his own. And his obedience was constant. It was morning, noon, and night. And we talked about his prayer life. You know, it's like the old saying, just come because you come to church doesn't make you Christian. No more than me going out to my garage makes me an automobile. Right? Being a believer, being a true Christian, is a daily, day by day, morning by morning, evening by evening. It is consuming. It is it is our life. And so I wanted to say something, but I don't want to belabor points when we have so much more to talk about. So as we imitate Jesus, we want to follow his purity of life. We want to follow his cheerful, willing obedience. That it's not something we feel like we have to do, but we get to do. It's like I told one of my aunts one day, she was had been talking about ironing my uncle's army uniform. He was the 82nd Airborne. He was a paratrooper. And I said, how do you like doing that? And I mentioned his name, Uncle Johnny. And she said, oh, I love your Uncle Johnny. Sometimes he's this way or that way. But I hate ironing his uniform. And I thought, but don't you love him? She said, yeah, I love him. But I hate doing this. And I thought, you know, that's just not go together. Don't you want your man to be the sharpest looking guy out there? Don't you want him to, when he snaps to and he's out in front of the other guys, don't you want the other people to see how much you love him because he looks so good? That you're taking care of your man? That he can walk around in this confidence and in this assurance that, look at me, how much my wife loves me. She ironed my uniform. Well, let's move on. I don't want to get stuck on that either. So Jesus served the Father through discouragement, trouble. It couldn't stop him. In fact, that knowing that he was heading to the cross, knowing that it was going to be soon, knowing that he would only live a little over 33 years, it made him more diligent. In fact, Jesus told his disciples, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day, for the night is coming which no man can work. And isn't that true with us? Our lives are fleeting by. I mean, I don't like going to work. I'm like any other guy, you know. There's so much stress and chaos that gets around there that if I don't keep my eyes on Jesus, I might cuss. But the point is this. I forget what I was going to say now because somebody looked at me funny when I said I might cuss. The thing is though, as we look to him and we serve him, I remember, even when I go to work, I was up all night working, got off at 6 o'clock this morning, that even when I'm at work, the days are going faster now. You know, it'll be Thursday or Friday before I even know it, and I'm being in a play, I'd much rather be at home with a Diet Pepsi, listening to some nice music. But those days are going faster now. My weeks are going by to where I can hardly catch up with the days. How many of you, the longer you live, it seems like the faster your days go. Tomorrow morning at work, somebody's going to say, how was your weekend? And I'm going to say, boom. Here and gone, right? I'll say it was good. But it goes by so fast. Let us remember that while we're imitating Jesus and serving God, we only have this time. We'll serve him forever in heaven, but I mean, this life is passing by so fast. Only what's done for Christ will last. Only one chance to do his will. So give to Jesus all your days. It's the only life that pays when you consider you have but one life. Amen. And it's going by. What is your life? It's even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanishes away. Jesus took advantage of every minute, every second, every moment. You never see Jesus wasting any time. Every opportunity he took advantage of. You know, the Bible will even say things like, and as Jesus passed by, there was a blind man sitting beside the side of the road named Bartimaeus, and he cried out for Jesus. All of a sudden, the crowd stops, the crowd parts, and up walks a bronze figure of our Lord Jesus Christ, looks at Bartimaeus and says, what can I do for you? Oh Lord, that I may receive my sight. Be it unto you according to your faith. Notice Jesus did this as he was passing by. As he was on one place to another, he still didn't waste any time. As Jesus passed by, this widow of Nain was carrying her son, her last relative, her only child, in his casket to the burial grounds. And it was as Jesus passed by that a great miracle took place. As a woman was just checking her mailbox, and I was going into the post office, she was humming. What was it? I said, what's that you're humming? She said, I wasn't humming. I said, oh yes, you were, and that song's very familiar. She said, I don't even know I was humming. And I thought, I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. He gets sweeter and sweeter as the days go by. Oh, what a love between my Lord and I. I keep falling in love with him over and over and over and over again. while she passed by, not even realizing she was humming to Jesus. She brightened my heart because it had been years since I used to sing that song. And as we pass by, we can leave little gospel tracts in the grocery store or in the car in the parking lot. As we pass by, we can say a word to somebody. You know, a lot of times people like to say, God bless you, or Jesus loves you. What is wrong with as we pass by to imitate Jesus? And that brings us to, we can imitate his sweetness of life. We're going to have to come back to this message and finish up another day, good Lord willing. But his sweetness of life. You know, Jesus offended others, but it was not his purpose to offend others. It was his purpose to loyally proclaim the truth of the gospel. And when we proclaim the gospel, others are going to get offended. You're saying I'm a sinner and I'm on my way to hell if I don't come to Jesus? Absolutely. That offends me. Well, Jesus is a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to people. You're telling me that I'm going to split hell wide open if I don't get saved? Absolutely. And not only that, but there's only one way to heaven, and it ain't your way. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And it's not your religion. It's you saying yes to Jesus, bowing your knee and saying, you're right, God, I'm a sinner. You're right, I need to be saved. You're right, I need your mercy and your grace. Save me. Well, that offends me because my grandfather was a preacher and my daddy was a preacher and I go to church. Don't tell me I'm going to hell. I'm going to tell you this. You can be a Baptist and split hell wide open as quick as a harlot or a thief or a murderer. It's not until you come to Christ. You say yes to him. You submit to him. You'll either do it now or you do it in the day of judgment. Because every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. Even Satan himself on that day will lie prostrate and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all to the glory of God the Father. And so, We close with his sweetness of life. What did Jesus tell us to do? Did he say fight fire with fire? Well, if you fight fire with fire, you're going to make a bigger fire. Mm-hmm. He says return good for evil. Pray for those who hurt you. Bless those who curse you. Love your enemies. It's the opposite of fighting fire. You want to put out a fire, you got to get the water. Right? It's the opposite. I remember Connie telling me one day, you know, she saw me starting to get upset at somebody. She said, Proverbs 15:1. What does that say? A soft word turns away wrath. You know, if you're in your family and there's a fuss going on and you and your wife or you and your husband, you know, your wife is fussing at you. How come you never listen to me? And all of a sudden, instead of you fussing back, you say, you know, you're so beautiful when you're mad. You're the best wife in the world and you're right. I don't always show how much I care, but I want you to know you're precious to me. Instead of saying, Oh, you just nag, 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 nag. Right? And so we've got to return good. Well, I've used up our time, and we do want to be followers of our Lord Jesus, to walk as he walked. We can't do the great and mighty miracles that Jesus did, but we can love others. We can follow his example in prayer, make it bigger priority in our lives. We can be sweet and loving to others. I've been training Nathan to become the boss where I work, because they're moving me to another facility in October. And he's been training with me. Then I told the owner of our company, Nathan wants to work here. He hired him right away. And I forget what I was going to say now. I need to get my rest sometimes. But the point is that going along with what we said, I feel like Joe Biden all of a sudden, you know, forgetting here I am and what I'm supposed to say and everything. He's been doing that a lot. So, but I do it too myself. Father, we pray you bless your word to our hearts. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for helping us to serve you. Thank you for giving us the desire to please you. Thank you for even sometimes making us feel bad because we've sinned. Thank you that we're not like we used to be and just sin and not care about it. Thank you that though now we're your children, you bring us to a place where we cry out to you and want to get close to you. Want to be forgiven. We used to not care about those things. Lord, we thank you that we're not all, that though we're not all we should be, we thank you that we aren't what we once were. That we do care about loving you. That we do care about serving you. We do care about your word. We do care about spending time in prayer with you. And that Heavenly Father, we do want to please you. We do want to follow Jesus. Increase those desires, O Lord. Create in us an even greater hunger to be more like Jesus, to walk as he walked. In Jesus' name we pray.